Thank you so much. It's always a huge honor to be here. And I've really enjoyed the poetry this evening. So, step by step and piece by piece, see how far a single step can reach, from right to left and then from west to east. As I step with peace, my world is left in peace. Step by step and piece by piece, I've made mistakes, but now I step released. So far, my steps have never ceased, nor will they till I rest in peace. A little bit of time, just a little time. I can't see the finish line, but the win is mine. Clear the ice from my veins, let it liquefy. Keep my tears warm so they don't solidify. Dues paid in the same way I get them by. Pain vanishes the same way it visits by. Life treats me in the same way I live it by. May I make out okay before my long kiss goodbye. I may seem to take a journey, but it's circular. I test the waters, but sometimes I make them murkier. Looking for a happy ending, it came earlier. As I found the love that I worshipped and the worshiper. Turning round, what was I turning for? Who but me was I turning from or turning toward? Who besides the journeyer is the journey for? If all the answers I returned with, I heard before. So I take a small step in the right direction, but sometimes it's not the step, just the right intention. Some times are right for stepping, some are right for resting. In most cases, steps I take need some slight correction. Part of life is testing, but part of life is guessing. Soon I see, who am I, is the mighty question. I don't always have an answer, just a slight impression. May it coincide with truth and not just my invention. So when I climb, I hold the rung like a blind man. I have eyes, but cannot touch all my eyes scan. I may cry, but hold my tongue like a wise man. It's unwise to utter all that my mind can. If I could fly and tried to fly as high as I can, I couldn't fly away from me wherever I land. I could take a million steps from where I stand, but no matter where I go, I will always be where I am. So step by step and piece by piece, I see how far a single step can reach. From right to left and then from west to east, as I step with peace, my world is left in peace. Step by step and piece by piece. I've made mistakes, but step released. So far, my steps have never ceased, nor will they till I rest in peace. Peace. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you, Massimo. Always a joy to have you join us. Next on the open mic is M. Egan Reeve. Yeah.
Sorry, one second. I lost it. Hi everyone, this poem is one that I wrote a few weeks ago for the five words. So yeah, I actually changed one of the words, so it's not that anymore, but because someone misheard it. I was like, I love that. And I was like, oh, that's not what it is. So then I just immediately changed it. Okay, so this poem is called Contents of the Underwear Drawer I Share with My Boyfriend. 17 pairs of cotton briefs, size large, boxer shorts, around a dozen, we don't wear them enough to count. Space for used items, the ones in the wash, somewhere for them to return once they've been freed of discharge, the fluid released by the wrong thing we both possess, the lack between my legs, corridor to the cavity that sings, shrieks, drips, and eventually just leaks and makes me say, oh God, I hate the spotty one packet of sanitary towels, unopened, floral pink wrapping, reminiscent of udders on a cartoon cowl, biological but just for show. animal anatomy for the pre-primary minds, those budding vets, extractors of blood and lactation, a bag full of extra long needles, and an official letter from the gender clinic detailing correct procedure for home administration of intramuscular testosterone injection. An unpeeled sticky note my boyfriend wrote for me, scrawled declarations of love, illegible expansions, and a crude drawing of a penis at odds with the rest. Behind it, stapled at some point, another unpeeled sticky note, dated from a year ago when his ex was still around, when I lingered as a pigeon mite in the skylight of their mind, the summer I identified as a reason for concern. A note that says much the same, but to a boy I don't know, a note that brings back memories relayed to me of Stockholm and sex that I had no part in. Something never on the list is the function of familiarity, the muscle memory that comes with repetition and rifling, the daily jaunts and established routine, but one without convenience we fumble and drop and struggle to find. Our scramble for clean, dry garments of modesty and comfort is pathetic, don't we ever learn? Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you, Em. Next, we're going to go back online to Pam.
Thank you. Let's see. Okay. Just a tiny word. I composed this poem out of a series of American sentences, which hold 17 syllables per sentence. And each line is an American sentence on its own. Okay, it's called The Train. A man boards a train going somewhere, carries black and white photo clothes. A woman boards a train going somewhere, riding tomorrow today. A preacher boards a train going somewhere, killing two stones with one bird. The poet boards a train going somewhere, looking for her characters. The engineer on the train going somewhere pulls the whistle three times. The conductor pinches smokes, pain pills, troubles unburied lurk nearby. The passengers hum regrets and remembrances, sorrow in a song. Rails hum, hiccuped by ancient rusted bolts. The poet picks up her pen. The man unfolds a black and white photo, ponders how late is too late. His hands break a promise, fumble for flask to wet unquenchable thirst. The man blows gentle, whiskey-laden breath, fogging faces fading fast. The poet inks letters, flashes long and lean, actinic debriefing. A preacher unholsters his spit-shined words, striding through car after car. A woman crochets Irish, her hook unraveling real rhythmic murder. A woman pulls found courage, covered with nose over second chance skin. The poet tunes a guitar harmonic, arpeggiating wholeness. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Next on the open mic, we had Jim Crickard.
Okay, so this poem is about something that's so wrong, but it feels so right. Socks and sandals. Don't be jealous of my socks and sandals. I actually posted it on my story and my nan sent a little fire emoji, so I hope this is good. I stroll along like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo, with the ease of a geography teacher at a wedding, an elder millennial in recovery from years of skin-tight jeans, the reprieve of olive-toned chinos and polo shirt of cream. My feet are escaped mental asylum patients, moving free in straitjackets without sleeves. Afternoon sky, the color of sugar-free ice cream, the gold buckles catching and losing the light. A wealthy retiree from Florida, walking through the mall, leather straps over cashmere socks to conceal my yellow heels. My toes are a family of Eskimos on a roller coaster, sent head first through acres of marble and escalators. They've been trying to dive off for years. Now crisscrossed beneath fine socks, they've succumbed to their fate of food courts with vistas of tightly packed paper dispensers. They longingly watch the arachnid glass of display televisions, where one polar bear roams the snow a dozen times in unison. My feet start speaking German when walking on mountains. In the dewdrop hills where ants look up and see the gargantuan sandals, emerging through clouds of mist with the shadows of a whale, swinging like the hammers of Thor, vengeful Birkenstocks, their death marked by the last rites. Nein, this Schneiser is nicht good for them barbecue. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. They're hot. Next to the open mic, we have Otto Goodwin.
Thank you. This poem is called The Brown Room. The brown room in my grandmother's house is cold. My grandmother lies in the middle of the room, dead. I stand over her body, I am wielding a flail. The flail has rusted to the same color as the walls. Far away in a kitchen with a blue ceiling, my other grandmother sits quietly. The sky outside is as white as baby teeth. She has not been sleeping well lately. I'm holding the flail in my left hand. I'm holding the flail in my mother's hand. My dead grandmother says nothing as I bare my teeth in the brown room. I bare my teeth and feel family history burst like a capillary and trickle down my chin. The woman in the kitchen cries out at the silence. She hears what nobody else can. There are rats in here. There are rats in the walls. The rats are brown and gray. They have long fingers and are drawn to shimmer and spangle. I cannot see the rats, but can feel them clawing up my throat. I cannot see the rats, but can feel them bursting through my gums like wisdom teeth. I know I will inherit my grandmother's rats. They will gnaw through the will and come find me in the night. I have not been sleeping well lately. Thank you.
Thank you, Otto. And next we have Pat Cotter.
For about 10 years, my record for the fastest submission on Submittable was 3 hours for a journal in New York. That record is broken last year by the following poem, which was accepted within 50 minutes of being submitted by a journal in Amsterdam. It's called Chart Song. Before the war, the boy who walked only on his hands could have trod on his feet had he wanted to, but liked his eyelashes occasionally touching the ground, where he was entertained watching the adventures of ants capturing long-bodied, long-haired caterpillars before dragging them back to their nest for flossy feast. When the earth was dank, flocks of snails abounded and their antlers tickled his nose. He could have confidential chats with his own shadow, speaking right into its ear in whispers heard by no one else except the worms and the earwigs scuttling beneath leaves. At home, he ate out of a dog bowl on the floor because his mother indulged him. When he slept at night, he hung loose as an empty noose, upside down from the attic rafters. His mother told everyone he was homeschooled, claimed he was so intelligent because more blood flowed to his brain. All this stopped the day he had no body to cry next to, only the awful stains on the pavement where his father stood when the spray of shrapnel shred him. Before the war, whenever he whinged, his father would stoop down low, put his face up close and say, "Where did you learn that song? That's a great song. That should be in the charts. That's one of the greatest songs I've ever heard." And the boy's whine would seg straight into laughter. For after all, what did he really have to cry about before his father died in the war?
Thank you, Pat. And next we have Patricia Walsh.
Hi, and this is called Insufficient Evidence. Standard procedure, as I said, you'll be fine. Not even emojis can help me now. Sending mercies, comforting the inevitable. Bearing under sleeping problem while events. God, that's sore. Crushed under weight of expectation. Technological problems dig for deeper measure. Keeping the flies away, excellent state through failure, better chances, computers over fear the worst. Being renowned never pays the bills. Son being Sean, now a consummate nuisance. Swooning over celebrity, or at least the good looking. Friendship through intelligence, downstairs table. Soaring through the following week, prices aside, knowing lots through procedure, sickened through worry. No news being infinitely good at a glance. A license to weep over lost sentiment. Cleanly imbibing a trap for the hubris. Worldly music encroaches on an adoring situation. Summer time for some, free food for others. Smiling under duress, fear ripping the psyche. The burial of the stripped of heart, once, twice. Making out paperwork over glitches supreme. Knowing income, statements, furnished throughout. A weekly awaits excoriation to the smoke of a pen. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. And next is Philip Spillane.
It's got loads of strings as well. It's gonna check she's in tune first, because you make a fool of yourself. Is this not in tune? Look, I risk it.
Assuming we're all in
tune. Oh, you guys are definitely in tune. You guys are so talented, and the guest poets and everything. It's such an honor to be with everyone. Desert was a shore, when the town was a wood, I was there. wild ruin, written on the stone, I am there.
Thank you, Philip. That was great. Beautiful tuning as well.
One big mistake in the middle.
You know it, yeah.
You guys are like an experiment. I just wanted to see what you guys
think. It was great. Okay, next on the open mic is Joe Howell.
Hello, you all right? My mum's visiting from the UK at the minute, and she brings a really lovely, familiar texture to the house. And I've noticed her turning my three-year-old daughter into this puddle of calm, which we're not used to, which is really, really welcome. So I'm going to do one that I wrote for her. This is my wordless scholar. She said, "Just you wait, kid." She rolled her eyes as she rolled her R's and dropped her H's. She said, "Just you wait and see." Holding a world for me in one hand and my sweaty, balled up fist in the other. She fed me to the clothes of my big, but now far too big for him, brother, knees to sleeves. There was no part of me that they didn't cover. And we sat there, cross-legged on the kitchen floor, casting short, thrown, comfortable looks, finding priceless life in loving eyes, minds wide open like picture books. Because words meant nothing back then. They were almost obsolete. We were painters decorating our dreams on a red brick terrace street. And she was the woman with two of everything. Two eyes, two ears, two mouths, two hearts. Not M-U-M, but M-A-M. She stole the A from man so she could play both parts. She replaced the space of DAD with a wealth of lessons for Ken and me. These lectures of kindness, short one-liners of health, love, loyalty, and her hard hands like thoughts through my head would run. She said she burnt them, stealing me from the sky, and that's why she called me son. She doused our house in Motown, and with her booming voice, she torched it. And we danced in the flames of darker days and forgot phrases like, we can't afford it. She said, if you hold soul, then your soul's whole. And I'm told that soul will never get old. She said that when me and our Ken landed, we made the fucking world rock. She said she bored her bones in tears in the hopes to only make the best stock. And white lies are something my mum never really had. She'd put on her favourite CD and tell us that that Luther Vandross was our dad. She'd say, those dreams, they're close enough to touch. Never too much, never too much, never too much. She's my wordless scholar. She's the reason I ain't soft. She's the one that taught me there's always more room up in the loft. And she's the one that said, keep talking, son, because world needs made more talkers. Just as long as you're moving as fast as your mouth. Yeah, Leicester's the home of walkers. She's my love for music, my queen of funk and soul. She dances like Ian Curtis, but she never lost control. This woman sweats love and serves it up for breakfast, lunch and tea. And all she asks for in return is, just you wait, ma'am. Just you wait and see. Thank you very much.
Brilliant, thanks, Joe. Next on the open mic is Ben Thompson.
Okay, we had a reference to Iris Murdoch earlier on, and there's a link with this poem that I'm going to read, because Iris Murdoch and my Uncle Frank Thompson were very great friends while they were students. And when he went off to the front, they used to write to each other, and Iris Murdoch said that if Frank had come back from the war, she might have had children. But he didn't come back from the war because he went into Bulgaria with a group of partisans, and he was captured by the Bulgarian fascists and executed at Litakovo in 1944. In 1994, on the 50th anniversary of that, I went up to Litakovo for a little commemorative festival organized by the Bulgarian government. And I wrote this poem then, it's quite short. Litakovo. The bugle plays the last post. We lay flowers, and for a moment are as still as you. 50 years ago you gave your life for something that I still can't find a name for. Does it matter? Only the deadened spirit needs to ask why one should give his whole life everything. The doing answers for itself. It seems a monument is sealed wherever youth stands upon honour until death, the touchstone of the real. Here no one comes, no flowers fade, time gathers dust over a soldier's grave. I stand within the shadows, knowing you are close, and are as well as I am when I sleep, knowing no more than you do when I'll wake.
Thank you, Ben. And we're going to go back online now to Jeff Cottrell.
Okay, so this one, I'm going to go back to an oldie, and this was published in the anthology Paper Teller Diorama in New York City 3 years ago. It's called How to Make Money in Poetry. So if you're looking for a way to monetize your poetic passion, this is how to make money in poetry. Listen carefully. I look in your eyes and I see the shadows of eternities. They call to me like a wild wolf in the desert, like a burning hunger that cries in the night, like an autumn breeze dancing gently on my soul's white grave, like a whispered secret in the dawn of the sunset, like a sweaty toothed cat ablaze in the midnight sun. I look in your eyes and my heart races like a bitter fawn in the manger. And all I want to feel is your soft and gentle touch, as soft and gentle as the touch of Beauregard. Beauregard. Only the soft, cottony touch of Beauregard offers the complete satisfaction you want. No other bathroom tissue guarantees such high quality and fast savings. Soft as a kitten, gentle as a lamb, smooth as a newborn baby skin. America loves Beauregard toilet paper like no other. The preferred bathroom tissue of this year's national bobsled team. Go Biscuits! Beauregard toilet paper is available in 8 or 16 rolls or in the jumbo pack. Ask your local supermarket which size is right for your needs. Beauregard. Now back to the poem. We feel our breaths mingle in the air, and I can taste the sweet flavor of love in your destiny. Like the sweat of a rhino yearning for better days. Like the heart of a child beating for the memories of sour dolls. Like the horns of a thief in the night shrieking for the ends of time. Like the heat of a golden calf throbbing to the rhythm of the moon. We feel our breaths mingle in the air, and as a shuddering eye blinks in the Memphis sky, I feel myself crawl inside you with graceful symmetry, and I hold you close, treasuring your body and soul like a jewel, like precious jewelry from Nutty Neal's, because Nutty Neal pays cash for your used jewelry. Cash, cash, cash. Gold rings, gold earrings, diamonds, silver, pearls, rhinestone. He'll give you cash. Why wait? Go now to your jewelry box. Bust open your safe deposit box. Bring all your jewels to Nutty Neal, and he'll give you the best deals in town. Even if it's broken or scrap, he'll buy it. With the deals he gives you, you'll have to wonder if he's nuts. Maybe he is. Call 905-555-NUTY right now, or drop by the shop at 663 Eglinton Avenue. This is not a front for anything sinister. Nutty Neal's Jewelry Emporium. Now back to the poem. I feel my love burst in a nutmeg explosion, kissing the night with a rainbow Nelson and a titter, like a filtered Hallmark choking on the words of life, like a tricycle passenger with a nostril in heat, like a vampire shark and all that it represents to God, like an albatross that bought the wrong bus ticket while drunk, like a false witness to the deans of your ad could be right here. We're selling ad space in this poem, and this lot could be yours. With our help, you can reach new markets for your product or service. Advertise with us, and we will keep your business competitive and profitable. Great rates available for 30-second spots, 1-minute spots, even 2-minute spots. For a reasonable extra charge, we'll even grant you influence over the poem's content and themes. To learn more about how this poem can help your team maximize your revenue over the next fiscal year, call 1-800-555-POEM. Now back to the poem. To the deans of eternity, I surrender myself and pledge my love to you. This poem was brought to you by Bargain Jimmy's Chicken Nuggets. Bargain Jimmy's, serving you and your family prime chicken nugget goodness since 1953. And that was How to Make Money in Poetry. That's me. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. I think we're all on board. Next up, we have our 5 words winner tonight, Mona Lynch.
This is a poem I found very hard to write. I've been struggling for a long time with it. I have 10 grandchildren, 9 of them are adults. And there's an 8-year-old, and he's the subject of the poem and the reason I'm wearing this jewelry. I will meet him this Christmas for the first time, my grandson, 8 years old, his name Liam Ogue, his Navajo name Natani. He's not used to soft grass, rain, chestnuts, but sand, heat, and loving grandparents out in Shiprock Reservation. A sleek coyote comes to mind. No trace of his blonde Irish father. I will show him where he played. We will explore the attic together, find old Meccano and Lego, walk through his father's school, the gift of time all too short to germinate the seed of friendship. We live in different worlds, my grandson and I. He comes to taste the sea on his toes, the juice of berries, the lick of warm rain. The world he re-enters with his maternal grandmother under Shiprock Mountain, a spectacular diatreme where the sand forever shifts. She carried him in a cradle board, taught him his mother tongue, a secret code. I want to see where their silver gifts, I want to see their silver gifts being crafted, embedded with turquoise gems. I will join the doll dance, wrapped in a Navajo blanket, sit in the hogan, facing the sunrise, sharing fried cornbread, listen to music on the breeze, as they call him his Irish name, Liam Oak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mona, that's beautiful. And next we have Sue Blue.
Dare. Above Bell's Field, before it became popular, everything began for me on the terrace. Pushing my bike out, I mount the hill to the top of St. Patrick's. The route stretches clear ahead of my wheels. I stand in the pedals, both hands on brakes, and let go. Reeling down the steep slope, picking up speed, allowing for the breeze to tousle my hair. Oh, the buzz of freewheeling this road at near 60k. Crossing McCurtain to the bridge, open space over the Lee, whirling past the quays and halfway down St. Patrick Street. By the time my feet tread the pedals again, rolling by Dunn's stores around the corner, my heartbeat steadies, breath unwinds as the adrenaline bliss courses through my veins. I cycle onwards on wings of joy, fresh wind in my sails.
Thank you, Sue. And next we have David Lane.
I'm going to read a poem called Crone by a poet, Mary C. Riley. I met her recently at the Listowel Writers Festival. No longer a slave to the waxing and waning of the moon, at peace I peer with experience, die with sadness at the world. With much to teach from accumulated years, wrought from laughter and tears, I hide my time. Keeping my own counsel, a murmured spirit exhales, all is well inside. An internal mythology with wisdom has found me, helping me to stand my ground. Elusive in my youth, I'm strong now in truth. I cannot heal the polarized world, but can remain true to my own values, kindness and succor to all. I have an endless door, square-like I prepare for age, my maiden days are gone. But I carry on as sage, faith my breastplate, charity my three-legged stool, love my everything.
Thank you, David. And next we have Catherine Ronan. It's a bit.
Great. I'm just back from my first holiday in 5 years. I went to Lumiar, Portugal, where I met the fantastic Padre Francisco Rodriguez, who allowed me to touch the relic of Bridget. So I dedicate this to him and Meg's Creedon O'Shea, who put music to it. Bridget. Cupped flame of sunbeams and snow, cosmic power of renewal. oak sap rises to kiss your fingers. Spring tides bathe your feet. Your sketched moon, fractured sun, first flower of spring in a druid's fist. Born between two thresholds, you hold the hand of all labors. Our Mary of the Gale, we tie magic ribbons and rags to your holy wish trees, sing songs over ancient rivers. Protector of poets, smiths, healers, we kneel before your mantle of stars. Brigid, carried from Iona to Bethlehem, you inhale the dark, exhale the light.
Wonderful, thank you, Catherine. Next is Cedric Picon. Oh, together with Antonio. It's a duet. Oh, wow.
So, hi, good evening. Congratulations to the previous wonderful poets. Tonight we will present a two hands poem. So, for me, this poem is about a relocation from a different perspective, then represents also the possibility to see the experience of the moving home from and finding a new place from a new perspective. And working with the Cedric to the creation of this poem has been a wonderful experience, has gave me the stimulation to and freedom to experiment something new, and also gave me the opportunity to work with the poet and the privilege with the person that I like and I admire for his work.
Well, for my part, this poet was an attempt to observe the act of moving from place to place from the perspective of the emotion that comes with having to move in a constantly constricting environment, and where basically the definition of what is home, what is your community, and the sanity and the lack thereof sometimes that comes along with it, and how those things are constantly challenged. And in the same way, it was great for me to be able to work with Antonio, which words and the way he uses words I really like, and have an external mindscape, like a playground to play with. So this is the piece that now we are going to present.
And the poem is called Moving Home. The circles begin with the unknown reason. The leftovers of books in houses, journeys are life-changing moments.
It's happening again. I wish I could be surprised, but we have been moving homes ever since we have arrived in this country. I know we were lucky to even board the plane and to be housed, but this is difficult. Yet again, we have to move and relocate.
Living in the hardest conditions redeems the soul. Renting places is a transformation. Cruel landowners and unexpected mice can be the perfect guests.
It's not as easy as it seems. Many of the issues that we used to have there, we have found here. The money is one of them, though the generosity of the locals have helped us. But the other, we cannot do anything about. They are everywhere.
Mice can run and squeeze their boneless bodies, walk through the thinnest space in a wall, fracture of time.
You'd think that some crawling in the wall is bad enough, but at least these ones have an excuse. The other, no matter where he comes from, only has his reasons and will not care for anyone else.
Landlord shouts from its property in Spain, trying to acknowledge the fact that there are some mice in the house. It's destined to fail in vain. No pressure as long as you pay.
In the last places we left, we were blessed enough not to have to deal with them, but today, the pests are here, pressing to take everything, one crumb at a time, out of our pockets.
Becoming the flow of the money, the melting of lives and bodies with rent and apartments, a homesickness healed with hunger.
We have moved so many times that I think the bags under my brother's eyes may never come undone. Hope is what keeps us going. Maybe this time we can finally rest long enough to rebuild ourselves.
Navigating a shapeless town, a decent dinner on a desert island. Good nights to the welcoming guests.
The current tenant seems welcoming despite the language barrier. We will make a home in this house, in this city. The other guests we accept with the territory.
Noises of poison. A life as those of the mice running on a wheel. The cage is the one built upon our dreams.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you both. Next on the open mic is Adrian? I can't really. Is it Adrian? Adrian, sorry.
I just have my 5-word poem, but I didn't read it earlier because I was one of the ones who's cheating. So that was before I knew that cheating was encouraged. So my mom is also visiting, so this is a little story that she's told me many times. The lantern fly must be some Lothario. We hear that she is sleeping her way north along the eastern seaboard, leaving her children to hoover up the skin of the earth. How much that skin changes. The Dutch elms used to rise high along the rows when my mother was young and cleaning clinkers from the old furnace of her house. Before they installed the gas, and her grandmother nearly blasted them all apart one smooth turn of the knob of the range, and she and her friend waited for the tea, the place filling around them in an exhale. In one long exhale. They were lucky that nothing sparked, no collision of whatever it is that takes us apart and reveals the experiment. My mother came home early from school, turned off the knob, opened all the windows, looked out at the snow and tried to breathe, tried to stay on the earth a while longer, the flora and fauna, aliens beneath her feet. Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian. Next, we're going to go onto Zoom and for Kemi George Simpson. So, welcome, Kemi.
Hi. So this is another mother poem, and it's called Patterns. So I've been experimenting with villanelles. Are your patterns kept from lost days? I ask, as nothing stays the same. I can see you fade, then blaze. When I arrive, I see your thin grey, cheering contestants on TV games. Are your patterns kept from lost days? You fall over and I am in a haze. Words vanish from reference frames. I can see you fade and blaze. Your quilt of proverbs soared like waves, throwing shapes we long to claim. Are your patterns kept from lost days? Loose arms give a tight embrace. Your hug always knows my name. I can see you fade and blaze. Do tartan and Ankara interlace? In dreams, do memories reframe? Bright patterns are kept from lost days. I can see we fade and blaze.
Thank you. Thank you, Kemi. Next up, we have David McLaughlin.
Hi, busy week next week for launches, just to let you know. I'm launching my book, Crash Center City Library, Tuesday the 18th at 6 o'clock. So if you can be there, that would be amazing. And so I'm going to read a new poem, Haibun, Japanese form. It's kind of interspersing prose with haiku. These aren't exactly haiku, but approximations. And it's mostly set in the south of Spain. Spanish haibun. Nerja, 6 in the morning. The black wool curtains, thin yellow and red stripes, billow. Cast iron curtain rings, stirring. The mountains above the coast, cicadas starting. I hear a whistle, four notes over and over. All through 1979, 1986, never know who makes that sound. The music and exotic trope. Until 1993, when I'm 21, and discover on Belvis Hill, a rainy Santiago de Compostela suburb, the knife sharpener running his mouth over a stubby whistle, a kind of pan flute, housewives in housecoats queuing to his moped grindstone. I stand there looking, then laugh, nodding in the drizzle. They ignore me in their ordinary. Granny McLaughlin says, "All this greasy olive oil, my poor stomach." The solution, a generous port mixed with brandy. On the Balcón de Europa, boys in white shirts with brill-creamed hair queue with girls in white dresses at the ice cream vendors, stout, bow-legged, with floral aprons and oiled black ponytails. Spain is unpasteurized and smells of unfiltered cigarettes. I am 3 and not allowed to eat the ice cream. Before deploying the straight razor, Bruno wraps my neck in an elastic crepe paper from a chrome dispenser. Everything is foreign, continental. I'm going to cut it short, but the male National Geographic narrator says, the Spaniard thinks nothing of dinner at 11. Women with wonderful smoker voices enter the restaurant, a deeper octave. Damas de noche, night blooming jasmine. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Congratulations, hopefully viewers will be at the launch Tuesday the 18th.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be one of the most important books of poetry published in Ireland this year.
What was that?
Thank you, Pat. Next on the open mic we have Fiona. I can't read. Is Fiona gone? Fionn. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say I can't read what your surname is, but I couldn't read your first name. Sorry. Fionn.
Yeah. I'm currently working on a poem called Fiona, and that hopefully I'll read here some evening.
But yeah, continue on the kind of haibu and haiku theme. So last year I read some cycling haiku here. Next week, if you're going around Cork during the Cork Midsummer Festival, you might see these beautiful illustrations done by Chris Judge. And I'm very lucky to have my haiku included with six of these illustrations that'll be around the city. So that's just, I don't have a book coming out next week, but I'm delighted with that. So we're gonna read this poem. The title of this I've kind of changed a few times, but this evening I'm gonna call it War and Peace. And it has a few Cork landmarks, a few kind of nautical features in it. So War and Peace. We were married in a 15th century castle, built as a lookout and protection against Barbary pirates and Spanish invaders. We rented our first home beside a 19th century barracks, built as a garrison for 2,000 men to guard against the threat of revolutionary France. We bought our first home near a 100-acre complex, built to manufacture gunpowder for the Napoleonic Wars and Britain's Hungry Empire. Two. We were married in a 21st century observatory with a telescope in the turret for tracking the rise and fall of galactic cores. We rented our first home within earshot of a Daily Bugle and a Defence Forces exhibition on international peacekeeping on Culture Night. We bought our first home beside a 100-acre park and woodland where we filmed with shaking hands the drumming sound of the returning woodpecker. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Next, we have Carl B.
These politicians have a lot of dedication. With every word, they really fuck the nation. The news is sad, I think I'll change the station. Find a new narrative, maybe a shit to give. You stand up for what you think is right. It's all a delusion, so hold on tight. Change your tune, learn a different song. Is it getting through? Should I hit the gong? The ship is going down, but the violins play on. Can't you see all the rafts are gone? Too late to change, so we keep on going along. Time keeps ticking. But these rhymes aren't clicking. Our culture needs a fucking kicking. Take a look at what you are. The path you're on doesn't go too far. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood. I turn around, head home for good. Bigger, better, stronger, faster. Come on, what are you really after? Find your voice and shout it from the rafters. Open your mouth, but speak no truth. No sense comes out. They pulled your wisdom tooth. Maybe it's just a filling loose. This world at times feels like a noose, but a sharp tongue can cut right through. There's always something you can do. Lots of bullshit misconstrued. So what, I've got an attitude. When you say, hey, how are you? I just reply, it's all good, dude. Wouldn't want to cause a fuss. Some thoughts can hit you like a bus. This reality is a tragedy. Will I ever find the path for me? Is an abrupt end around the bend? Hell no, let's start the show. There's still a lot to go. Out the window, defenestrate. This one ends here because it's getting late. That's it, no debate.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. Next up, we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Ben. The perp walk isn't so far from halfway up the counter. Cork words three. They took two pieces. We'll go with this one. Indulgence. We are heeled well over on the port tack. The windex is steady at last. A shooting star falls across its orange arms. Not to worry, the closest point of approach is not registering on the AIS yet. The wind shrieks in the rigging as she plunges and rolls, rolls and climbs. One hand for the ship, one for myself. Ease the mane a little, let her settle. Less slamming now. Away to the north is a stroboscopic display as sheet lightning highlights the black underbelly of storm, fat storm clouds. They've already swallowed the plough, standing up on his sock the last time I looked. A different lurch. A duck as a grape shot of spray slashes across the canopy. And the blindfolded outboard. There he stands, clamped to his bracket, with his clenched tiller fist raised in salute to the split backstay. That'll teach him with his choking, mix-rich habits. Skulking below him are two bulbous-headed fenders. Before noon, they'll squeal with delight. I gaze at the huge wheel, twitching to the prompts of the auto helm. Earlier, I secretly watched him and the huge quadrant at work when I played an LED pencil light through an after bunk vent. Our hanky headsail casts a grotesque shadow across the main. It swells and fades as its projection dances and flares from the top of the leech down through the sail number to cut the foot at the vang. A series of taut pencil pleats channel the white masthead light like rays racing to the straining first reef points at the boom. Now there's a faint, steady loom clustered over the horizon. I hope it's not time yet to call my replacement. I don't want to break the spell. We dance on and on, exploding masses of green-tinted water from our starboard bows. Andy will enjoy a great shot of the dramatic African dawn. Binoculars, quickly. Yes, a flash of the Iludecima lighthouse between the port shrouds. Land ho, this is indulgence. Over. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Seamus. We're going to go online now to Emily Davis Fletcher.
If I can get my video on. You actually don't need that. Hi, everyone. I'd like to have a video go. Can you hear me okay, though? That's the main thing.
We can hear you, but we can't see you.
Okay. I don't know why I can't get my video, but that's okay. This poem, it's titled Your Extinct Friend, the Carolina Parakeet. And just so you know, it is based on a true story, a sort of magical true story, which are my favorite, and I'm sure everyone's favorite. And it's in the voice of the Carolina Parakeet, like, as I read that, just keep that in mind. Your extinct friend, the Carolina Parakeet. That time you stood barefoot on prickly marsh grasses, you sighed as the sun dissolved on a tongue of green horizon and shed its bombastic amber fur. You could only see the end, reflect on what you mistook as lost. Looking for me, you drowned in a despair that rain termites. They will dry up and die too from your thought, I'll never love again. So I risked being seen for the first time since 1918. Outside a watercolor where I've been known to flicker when the eye and light don't trick. I threw myself an arrow of jade feathers to save us, all of us, azalea seed to moon rising, though the world believes I'm extinct. You flinched, I hovered, beat my wings, swept your mind clear of blind and wingless talk that obscures the heart.
Thanks, Henry. Okay, our next reader is Kieran McCartan. Is he there? Well, let's go with Donna McCartan.
He's done. Cut him loose now.
Kieran just wants to be last on the open mic, I think. That's why he's... Look at him now. Look at him there. Huh? Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Boil the bread, man.
Sorry there, I missed my cue. Big time styly. I just wanted to say a big congratulations to Donna and to everybody at Metal Mara for the Harbour Festival this year. It's a fantastic festival. The flagship event was Ocean to City, which happened on Saturday, and it went really well. People had a great day, and this event tonight is a collaboration between those two great organizations, Metal Mara and O'Vale. So congratulations to everybody involved. This poem was called The Sea, so I better read it tonight, given the opportunity presented itself. I wrote it when I was cycling in France. Somebody said something about doing some sort of cycling poems a while ago. And I think the sea is really interesting that way. I think everybody has an innate sense of how far away they are from the sea, like somewhere deep in them, you know. And I cycled from Paris south to Orléans, and then from Orléans along the Loire Valley to this place called Saint-Brevin-le-Pin, which is on the Atlantic. And I cycled there on my bike, and it was just an interesting journey towards the sea. So I was thinking about the sea a lot, and the sea changed character a lot in that time. The sea is always the same colour. It comes again and again against the rocks, invading crevices and corners. The sea foam atop the sea moves like bellowing snow winds as the sea cleanses and cradles the rock. Never tired, always searching, the sea moves in packs of waves, taking its fill of the beach. The beach is powerless to the sea. It is forced to welcome it, and so it welcomes it softly. The sea keeps its own time, moves in every direction, filling space as it leaves it. The sea picks up and drops things. The sea breathes shells and sand and stones, and coral, material waste, fish and weed and plankton and plant. The sea breathes creature. The sea is always the same color. It is only the light that changes. What color is the sea? Thank you.
Actually, we've got one more person on Zoom. It's Deirdre Hines.
Hi, thank you for a brilliant evening, for inviting me to read. Fantastic. Yellowstone Bear. In my father's chest of drawers, there's a faded yellow box of slides. The old grey projector unveils on his peeling kitchen wall every summer in the middle of July. I wore that t-shirt for months. How many times had I heard the tales of that old t-shirt, from its arrival in Harvard to its final burial in a bin in Yellowstone National Park? The bears avoided the smell. I always thought his frugal was because of a childhood fed on rations in a London bunker where the woman taught him how to knit. I still have the scar. The car accident he had after collecting the deceased concussed his undertaker boss, sent my father wandering off in the opposite direction. The body landed in the meadow sweet. Isn't that what we are all compelled to do, though? Set our internal compasses to our own course, forgetting all about the planets above us. That night in Yellowstone, I dreamed of theirs. Each seed he collected from his night in that park was wrapped in a hanky before he found some edibles in a Yellowstone picnic bin. They thought I was one of them. Now each time I look at him wandering through the house, I think I see the shadow of an old black bear standing on its hind paws, looking up into the stars as my father snores on the picnic bench below.
Thank you, Deirdre. And now we have Donna McCartan.
I think I've been up here before. Just to echo my son's words, it has been a fantastic collaboration with O'Vail, Mac Dearnach and Féile Cúin Corky. I just because I came, I thought, since I'm with the festival, I should also say that the winning boat on Saturday, and it was a Cornish pilot gig, and beautiful craft. I wrote this a few years ago in COVID times, waiting. Upturned the curraghs, their bows full of dark emptiness, stacked forlorn, Lear's lonesome ghosts await, unused, hands that have hewn and hauled, heaved and hoisted, formed and built, degraded stumps, untrammeled hands that have harnessed earth, air, fire and water, gossoons tinkering with elemental force, devised maps to navigate them, plotted routes to subjugate them, issued edicts to enslave them, praise pious toil, gouge profit from them. Unseen, the triumphal tip-tap of investment tools. Disconnect. Unblemished, children awake, locked in, the world at their fingertips. Upturn the curraghs, wait, the hands that will turn over to the light, to the heart, to the sea. Thank you.